the alabaster box that was broken over his head. The perfume filled the place. The anointing for his body, for that which was to come. That which was to come has come, saith the Spirit of grace. And now in him and through him, my anointing rests upon all of you who know him. For have I not said that my anointing breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of grace. From the beginning, when you were born again, what was purchased for you and given to you was an innately given anointing that breaks the yoke. My Spirit will come, and my Spirit will lift you up, for is it not written that I am a comforter? Is it not written that I am a go-between? But know this, that I only come and anoint that which is already anointed, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not wait, but enter into faith now. Know that that which is inside of you has everything that I gave you to live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. Lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Enjoy the benefits of the provision that has been given. Let this anointing, both in you and on you, flow through you, saith the Spirit of grace. Jesus, pray with me. Father, we thank you for the great grace of God, for a time and a season that we live in like never before. It is a prophetic season. It truly, Lord, is a time, yes, Lord, to stand in awe of you. Guide us and lead us concerning these things. Let them sink deep into our hearts, inevitably stamped by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're going to try to finish up this morning with our third lesson concerning rescuing the church. Glory be to God. We'll probably go over lesson two just a little bit here in just a moment. But I've really got to stay pretty close tonight. This morning's message is lesson three, and it is saving some. Saving some. Do you guys have that little cartoon? Put it up, please. This is so cute, but it identifies where we feel like that the church is at large. Oh, wow, it's up. Can you guys see that? That is so cool. That was sent to me by Roberto Plemondon this week. I really liked it. I said, put it up on the screen. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. And it might be a little blurry for you back there, but it's really neat because the first caption is the guy, if you can see him, he's kind of, I don't know, he's maybe an Indiana Jones type guy. And he has come from that far entrance, I'm guessing, that's a cave. You know, there's diamonds on the walls, there's all kind of stuff, but he's not concerned about that because he's looking in this treasure chest and he's looking for something. And he says, I've finally found it after 15 years. This guy has been searching. So this, what we're using this for is that this is much of our description of where much of the body of Christ is at. The body of Christ, before we go on to caption 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4, the body of Christ, if you've noticed, it loves novelties. It loves trinkets. It loves like fashionable things. It'll go with pray this prayer. Books have been written on pray this prayer. And it's short prayers and you're like, okay, Old Testament little prayer. That's great. Wonderful. But you know what gives it momentum? What the church thinks is powerful is crazes, novelties, never getting to the fullness of where Christ left us, and that's in power. But this guy's searching, and he goes, I finally found it. And he goes, it's the scroll of truth. He's so happy. Then he takes it out, and he reads it. Now, I don't know if it's blurry from you back there, but I'm reading it. It says, this is what the scroll of truth says. You have to repent of your sins and stop sinning if you want to go to heaven. It's just that simple. After he sees this great scroll of truth, it's nah. No, it's got to be deeper than that, or it's got to be something else. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Listen, that's much, I'm not trying to demean, but that's much of the church at large. It's searching for something that is right. I didn't bring it out here. Sorry. It's in my office. It's my Bible. I have all my scriptures printed out already. But it is, somebody got a, yes, hallelujah. It's right here. This is the scroll of truth. And the word says that true grace has taught us to live godly, righteously, soberly in this present world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this morning we're going to, let's look at our car wreck again. Can we do that? It just identifies. How many of you remember, I won't go through all that again this week. How many of you remember my interview with Michael, my son-in-law? It was really good. And it identified, one of the things I wanted him to say is, what equipment do you use? What's your first response when you show up to something like this? Well, I'm telling you, the body of Christ at large is, you could depict much of the body of Christ through this illustration. It's a mess. It really is a mess. They've been in a wreck, and much of their wreck is because of this pulpit, not this particular one. I pray not. But the one that they attend or the one that they listen to, please, my God, I don't know how many times I've said it. I've probably said it until I've made people in here almost hate me. More is not better. Don't turn your TV on, Christian broadcasting, and just let it play all day thinking that the more that you hear, the more that you receive. You're probably going to hear junk after junk after junk after junk after junk. I've told you before, I really mean it. I'd rather you watch an R-rated movie sometimes than watch some of the preachers that's on there because of the filth of truth that they're feeding you. Listen, what I don't understand is, okay, I got to watch it because I'll start rambling. I got to stick to my notes. Okay, I still got to say it. I don't see where people have time. If you do your prayer time and your own biblical reading, where do you have time for all that other stuff? I said it. I squeezed it in. Okay, you can take that down. Thanks. Let's go to our foundational scripture, which is Jude. What chapter would anybody suggest? Okay, chapter 1. Okay, I'm trying to be funny. Chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude. Look at verse 17. And this is kind of the foundation scripture that we've been using for this. Rescuing the church is our title here. But beloved, remember, this is what Jude said. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not even referring to himself. He's referring to others. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Well, I know, Pastor, the world's messed up. No. He's talking about inside the church. How do you know? Because he says, these be they. He's just actually defining it, lest your thought would have strayed and thought, yeah, I know Joe Schmo down there, the guy that goes in the bar, He's running after his own ungodly lust. Jude says in 19, these be they that I'm talking about who have separated themselves from what? Separated themselves from the church. Sensual means fleshly, having not the spirit. But then he turns back to us. He turns to the church. He turns to the church of the living God. And he says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, what he's saying there, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Before the services are over, Arnold, see me after the service for 5 minutes. I've got to get you filled today. Can't anybody else that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, see me right after the service. Quick advertisement. It's an easy peasy. I want some of the elders to stay around and help me, please. Listen. He says this, building yourself up. Now here is our inoculation against deception. Your born-again spirit has the righteous code of, let's say, the Ten Commandments in it. It's encrypted in it from the very beginning. That's there. But your born-again spirit is not your teacher. It has a capacity to learn truth, but it's not of its... You can't come into knowing your call without the Holy Ghost. You can't come into revelation after revelation. You can't come. There is reasons why we pray in tongues. And one of the reasons why we pray in tongues is that it builds us up on our most holy faith, but it also teaches us truth. He teaches us. But the apparatus, the means, the vehicle, the car that you get into and put it in drive, you've already got the spirit that can learn. But then you've got to have a textbook, and the textbook is the Word. You don't come up with this stuff yourself, but the right interpretation comes by the teacher, the Holy Ghost. Well, I just think if you just read the Word, listen, you can put 25 preachers in here, give them one verse, and they've all read the same verse 1,000 times, or passage, maybe it'll be a passage, and you'll get 25 different versions. Except for all of us, I pray. And I can tell you, I can talk to Homer, I can talk to Jim, I can talk to Gary. You know, we may have nuances. A nuance is like, wow, it's not different from the foundation, it's just an aspect. But I'm telling you, and you can speak to the ladies in here that pray in tongues, you can speak, we're all on the same page and on the foundation. We've only got one teacher. He not only builds us up on our most holy faith, but he inoculates us against sensuality and against the horrors of going astray by teaching us truth. That's the inoculation. He doesn't put some kind of barrier around you like a force field and make you stay in. What you learn makes you stay in. The doctrinal truth is your safeguard. So he builds you up on your most holy faith. And how does that happen? Praying in tongues, reading. Praying in tongues, reading. Reading, praying in tongues. Okay. Then this is a progressionary teaching, or what Jude is telling us here. This is how it happens. These are those who have separated, but you've stayed the course. Why so? You've built yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What happens as a result of that? Well, inoculation against deception, but also here comes the other part of it. He says this, you've kept yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, he not only is speaking of you yourself, who've received the mercy and the love of God as you continue to stay in the Spirit and stay in truth. But he also takes us, it's a progressionary truth that we're reading here, because he's telling us here's our ministry as a result of it. We keep ourselves, I'm using a little freedom here to say we keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the result of our compassion, or here's a result of our ministry, or here's rescuing the church 101. This is what we're teaching. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Of some what? Of some context, what he just said. There were sensuals, and they were separating from the body of Christ, but he didn't say that they're all forever lost, all of them. But he did say of some, there would be some
that there would be able, we would be able, us who rescue, us first responders. I called Mike up here and I said, Mike, tell me what a first responder does. And he, for 15 minutes, told us very emphatically, this is how you act. Boom, 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 boom. We are first responders. We carry within our person the ability to save people, one, with compassion, making a difference. I love to talk to people that I can woo them, that I can woo them by the love of God, and talk to them about how good God is and how that He wants us to live righteously because of just loving Him. But then He said, then there was the other side of the coin. He said this, of some making a difference, on some having compassion, making a difference, on others, save with fear. That does not mean the fear that you have, because you're not afraid anyway. He's talking about the catalyst here. The first catalyst was compassion. The second one was fear. In other words, there is a godly fear. People need to, I tell you what, the world has crept into the church. When the church says, don't talk to me about hell, it diminishes my image of what true fatherhood is. He didn't create that place for people. Listen, we who are of a good conscience, we're not in a debate about this. We're administering this. Our question is, listen, when somebody comes to me and says, when a couple starts talking to me about, where is the line of sin, Pastor? What, I mean, we're not exactly doing everything, but listen, when you're asking that question, you're going too far to start with. The church at large wants to know, what can I do and still say saved or not sinning? I said last week, we went through last week, it's really, for us that follow Him, it's easy peasy. It's an easy button. Boom. It's the scripture I read to you out of Romans. It's the, what Homer reminded us a few weeks ago, is the uh-huhs and uh-uhs. It's, you know what? Second graders in Christ, first graders, preschoolers, if you really want to follow Him, if you'll just follow the uh-huhs and the uh-uhs, if you're really following Him, if you'll just follow the uh-huhs and uh-uhs the rest of your life, you're going to make it in real good. But if you're a debater and you want to go your own ways, you can over... Listen, here's the amazing part. Your spirit on the inside of you is not a bully, neither is the Holy Ghost. You can override it. You can override the uh-huhs and uh-uhs, and then your soul will get as strong as your spirit as in an answer. And then you'll begin to debate things. And the church at large is debating, but they're debating from no grounds at all. There's only one place. We're not trying to create a debate class. There's several different religions. You know, I'm speaking in respect of the individual, not their religion, but the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the different ones. Their whole thing of conversion, converting people over, is based on debate. If they can debate you and win the debate, hopefully they can pull you over. Listen, ours is not based on debate. Ours is based upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Ours is based upon the love of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, and those who come in, we live in a place of safety. I said last week, what we're going to go through again, I don't have it for the screen this morning, could have, but what we're going to go through again, we're going to finish up those last two places where it talks about deal breaker sins. We've went into this past year, distinguishing when people say, and I've heard preachers say it for years, well, sin is sin, and all sin is the same. One person who left here said, you know, if you run a stop sign, it's about basically the same as committing adultery. I didn't even argue. At some point, you don't even argue. Listen, you're not going to find stop sign scriptures in the Word. You're not gonna find, you know, lack of prayer scriptures in the Word. Lack of prayer will send you to hell. You know, if you're supposed to be praying an hour a day, and for the rest of your life you only pray 30 minutes a day, you disobeyed. Basically, that's sin, but you'll not go to hell for that. You'll just get less of the productivity that you were supposed to in this life. But there are, And the three that we've listed are not all of them. I could find it out of Timothy. I could find it out of Colossians. We may go there later. And out of the book of Revelation that give, deal. These are for debaters. Not us debating, but for those who are in a valley of decision. There are deal-breaker sins that we're like, that's foolishness. Don't compare a stop sign or a red light or speeding with this, because these things here, can you find a stop sign sin? Can you find a blah, blah, blah sin? But I can show you these, boom, 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 boom. These right here, if you continue to do, and the word do was continually or habitually do these things will. And what did we find out? We found out last week this. We went to three, we didn't go to three scriptures, but we had you begin to try to rehearse. Can somebody tell me where the first one is? Or any of them? Galatians what? 5. Galatians 5. Wow. What? 1 Corinthians 6. Ephesians 5. We have got master's degrees up here and doctorates. Hallelujah. You ought to, I mean, listen, as rescuers, if you can't remember your name real good, carry a cue card in your wallet. When you run into somebody that is in the valley of decision and say, look, I can't even remember the verse or what it says, but I do know, and remember I said last week, don't say, my pastor says. Nobody wants to hear your pastor's testimony. They want to hear your testimony. And for God's sake, all of you that are coming here, if you haven't laid your, if they're within distance of you getting to them, if you haven't laid your hands on them yet, don't call me to lay my hands on them. I'll go with you. But you should have got there first. Pastor, have you visited so-and-so yet? No. No, maybe not. I don't know. I know this. I get up every day and try to do everything that I believe He wants me to do. But I'm glad you called about it, because the Holy Spirit has put them on your heart. So I will pray for you as you go, or as you call them, or as you minister to them. We're ministers together with Christ. Hallelujah. So when you call me, you say, Pastor, nobody does. But when you think, I wonder if Pastor or any of the elders of, wait a minute. Do you think that the Holy Ghost is cueing you in to call them? And please, for God's sake, don't call and say, has anybody checked on you yet? You incriminate everybody else. You call and say, I am a representative calling to say, hi. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Don't incriminate everybody else. God spoke to you. Minister. Oh, it's getting quiet in this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Where do you come up with this stuff, Lord? I got the offering already. Hallelujah. You say, well, I didn't give. I knew this was coming. Hallelujah. On some, say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, the word some here is the word hos or hos, and it does, it's a related pronoun meaning who, which, what, that. In other words, it has a specificness to it. It is really making some. Jude 1:19 said, these be they who are separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. When I read this, I also was reminded of that great teaching that we just went through by Gary Carpenter over the last several weeks, and we just got done with that at the end of this last year. And one of the verses that he taught on so wonderfully by the Holy Spirit was 1 John 2:19. Now listen to this. Listen to how close these two sound together. Jude was basically saying almost the same thing that John was saying. When Jude said this, and I'll read it for you again, these be they who have separated themselves. They've separated themselves. In other words, they were in, but now they're out. Having not sensual, what brought them, what separated them? Sensuality, carnality. They left because of it. This, and then in 1 John 2:19, it says this, John wrote this by the Holy Spirit. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt had continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest or reveal, basically, the trueness of their nature, manifest that they were not of us. What he was saying is this, what John was saying is this, and how Gary so eloquently taught by the power of the Holy Spirit is this, that once there were those who related to the church, those that said they were of Christ, but once they began to learn the truth, or the truth was being preached to them, their arrogance in their sensuality would not let them stay. Oh, you mean, we don't agree with that. There's grace for that. There's grace, and I can't teach that whole thing. I mean, it's one of those powerful lessons there that was just powerful. Go through it and listen to the 1 John series. Oh, by the way, Gary just sent me a text this week, and the healing series that is a compiling of all of those lessons that he did last year or the year before on healing. There's several sermons. That healing series now is on his website. They put it all together. And please, if you're fighting something in your body and you're really going through something, you have nothing better to do than to go through that. Go to his website. It's on the face page, and it says new. It has new on it, and it says the healing series. Go through every single one of those, maybe for the first time or again, because it's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Communion's in there, a lot of different things. But here in 1 John, that scripture says they went out from us because they were not of us. It's the part of the church that came in, they couldn't stay. Listen, man, do I love people. I just wish this house was full every single day, every single service. I really do. I don't want to push people out. But one thing I have learned is this. One of the things that this is not a brag. This is all by His grace. It doesn't matter if I'm standing up here or Homer standing up here or somebody's teaching the Word of God that we trust in this place. When you come in here, you all know, so it's not a shock to you, but you don't come in here and sit very long without making a choice. You're either in or out. And that's the good thing about our message. We're not trying to be mean, but if you're a looky-loo, or if you're just somebody kind of wanting to kick the tires and walk around and kind of, you know, surf the internet, in a sense, we're just kind of looking. We want to see if we can find a home here. We want to see if we could be used. We want to see if somebody appreciates us, or we want to see if we can get something. You know, this message, you don't hear this message too many, about two or three services, and you either love it or you just, my God, that guy's an idiot, and I don't want to see his face anymore. We were there two services, and that was two services too long. What I'm saying is it brings a separation right to start with. And right to start with, we don't have to worry about, you know, basically who's around us too long. Hallelujah. So John says they went out from us because they were not of us. They did not agree with our doctrine of truth and following Christ in righteousness. And this is basically what Jude is saying. They separated themselves. But the word some here, as I just read to you, that pronoun that actually talks about, it's a related pronoun that says that there will be some. He doesn't just cast them all out, but I will say this, and I don't think guilty of it is the right word, because what we say many times is in a positive confession. There's been a lot of people that have gone out from us, and that doesn't mean that they're all not serving the Lord. Some of them are. But some of them have gone out and went into strange things, real strange. But a lot of times we will say, and I don't think it's flippantly, I think it's in truth, we'll say, they'll be back, or that person will be back, or they'll be back. And we say it as congenial, loving, and also a faith that in time not everybody's going to be back. Let's not kid ourselves. That's not a pessimistic view. That's a reality of the war. In war, there are casualties. Now, it's not my job to say who doesn't make and who does, but I'm telling you, the reality is this. If you live in a fairy tale world and say, you know, it's just everybody's going to kind of get back to the truth. Not everybody, Jude said, not everybody got back to the truth. Some left, but some, you could pull some in. And this is our ministry of reconciliation. It's not for me to say, oh, I don't think that person, they're not worth us really fighting for. But some won't make it. And that's hard. That's serious business. That's kind of like really sobering. That's sobering stuff. In the mixture of those who will stay and those who will leave, what he was saying in 2:19, and what Jude said, in the mixture of those who will stay and those who will leave permanently, there seems to be a hope of recovery for many. This is where us listening and those listening, we come into understanding our ministry of rescuing the church. And I wrote this down. It was amazing because I thought this, and I know it's by the Holy Spirit. Who would have thought? I mean, he left truth. Didn't Jesus leave the perfect prototype, the perfect foundation? The apostles left us not guessing. I wonder, you know, I don't think they can see. There's nothing in Scripture nothing in Scripture that says they can see here. There's nothing in Scripture, not one verse. But if they could, and they see us so excited about the truths that we found about standing in righteousness, I think Peter and Paul and all of them would say, my God, my Lord and my God, we left that and they're now rediscovering that after 2,000 years. Hey, we're a generation that has come along after a lot of religion. We're fighting. I think really they'd be proud of us. So, hallelujah. That's just kind of meandering there, okay? But let me read this. Who would have thought it? Not only have we been given the Great Commission, which is aimed at the harvest of the unsaved, but we are prophesied by Joel, and here prophesied and instructed by Jude as those who would make a difference in the last days of some wandering in the valley of decision. Some will go to a place, this is how far they'll go, that their hearts are so hardened and against the truth of righteousness that they will form their own damnable doctrines, and despite compassion and despite fear of hell, they will not turn back. Many construct, I heard Gary say this, I liked it, he said many construct a false Jesus. That the Jesus that they construct in their minds, listen, if you don't have this, give me that word again, Carl. I'm going to commandeer it. I'm going to keep it up here in case I have to have it. Listen, if you don't have this, you'll, even if you were born again, if you went to a place and they got you born again, you just received the simple truth of confession of Christ and you really meant it, but you go on never to read the word or never to hear the word preached to the good, you can construct in your own mind what you think Jesus is like and what truth is like. Your construction and opinion or your evaluation of like, well, I think that your thinking does not, if it does not line up with the Word of God, it's not truth. And many people in the 21st century church has misconstrued and constructed their own Jesus. They've created a Jesus that doesn't really exist. In their minds, he exists. But of truth, that's a false Jesus. That Jesus doesn't exist. Hallelujah. Can I buy an amen, please? Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I had some prophecies and a vision and some other stuff, and I got to keep going. We'll read that at some point. I can tell you, there's just not enough time. But we're going to get all this out in time. Hallelujah. We've got, listen, this year, please. He gave us a, I'll read it later, not today. He gave us a prophecy on New Year's Eve about getting very focused. You guys are great. I really, honestly, I know I could patronize you to try to, you know, stroke you, but you're here. If you've been here for 10, 15 years, you're either crazy as a bedbug and love the fight, or you're sincere. You're the spearhead. I mean, you guys are true blue. But he's told us that our true blue, remember the scripture in John? He says, if you bear fruit, I'm just going to come. You're going to do it to yourself. If you bear fruit, I'm going to come and prune you. I'm asking him with sincerity, not as an example, but as an example, to prune as much of Bronc Flynn away this year as he possibly can. What are my distractions? Now, I know this could get petty for some of you, and I'm not saying don't, we're not going to put up any, we're not going to get into where don't do this and do this and don't do that. But what are the, can Bronc Flynn spend less TV time? I'm just giving some practical things. Can I turn, what are other hours that I think are things that I should be doing or that my flesh needs? This is a year of focus like never before. Well, you said that last year. I'll say it in 2020. Because every year, and you guys are great, I want to brag on you because he loves you. It's his affirmations that'll keep you going. Okay? But prune it. Prune it. Prune it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So last week, now let me just read this. We must be a prophetic people. Prophetic means understanding the times. I don't want to be dumb, do you? I'm not talking about dumb. Pastor, are you calling us dumb? No, I'm telling you this. The Word says this, 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Also he wrote in Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let us not be asleep, but understand the prophetic moment of the church history that we live in and make full proof of our ministry. Listen, there's two things, and basically they're the same thing. There's two things that'll put you to sleep spiritually faster than anything else, and that's disobedience and sin. If you're like, huh? You know, you can sit in here, and I'm not saying anybody is. I'm saying is you're. People say, well, I didn't get what you said. The burden could be upon the communicator. The other part is this. It could be that you're partly asleep. I'm not talking about physically. You're asleep. If you're in disobedience in your life, your spirit needs to wake up. You don't get it. You just don't get it. There's a dullness. There's a dumbness. And the reason why it's there many times is because we, you know, he said awake to righteousness. Bronc Flynn's got to wake up more. Okay? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see that guy? Boom, that guy got hit. They pull him over in his corner. You know, if you ever watch boxing, they're putting that ammonia. They break that tablet, put that ammonia. Whoa, he's dazed. His brain just got, if your brain gets jarred, they're going to send you back out there and you're like, I got to fight somebody. There's three of them. I like the Rocky movie. Hit the one in the middle. But they break the ammonia, put it under your nose so you wake up. And this is the smelling sauce. This is the ammonia. The Holy Spirit says, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. Wake up to what? Wake up to righteousness. Because disobedience will put you to sleep. Pastor, I know, I'm not really sure what you preached last Sunday, but I guess it was good. Everybody else liked it.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So whatever our, okay, I'm floundering. I'm in the valley decision. You know, the church where I go to, I'm sincere, and I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm not saying I'm doing this, but or the person I'm acting now. I'm not saying that person, which I am portraying, is doing this, but you know, the church I go to, my pastor says, you know, there are a lot of people that are cohabitating that they live together for years and they truly know the Lord, and God knows their hearts. He knows their hearts. And He knows that if they love Him, but they're, what my pastor says is that they're just really having trouble with their flesh. But if the trumpet sounds, He's going to take them on their love for Him despite their flesh. And you first responders are going to help me, somebody? What? What am I supposed to do with Galatians 5? Read it? You meditate on it? What is that going to help me? What? How's that? Is, okay. Any other things that you can suggest? For what? 1 Corinthians 6, not, you mean there's scriptures on this? And what? Verse 17. Okay. You mean my pastor might be wrong? Come on, talk to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's wrong. He's wrong. Hallelujah. Now, we went through, I can't go through them last. I'm going to, listen, last week we went to the Galatians one, right? And I put, we went through the whole thing, and we broke down. You know, we went through Galatians 5:19, don't turn there. Now the works of the flesh are these, manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of which I have told you before, and I tell you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that we found out, we went to all three of those scriptures, passages, and we showed you all three of them correlated. They correlate in this, that they give a list of deal-breaker sins, okay? But they also concluded, all three of those places concluded with the same thing. Those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's just Simon Simple says, if you just, I mean, there's people that want to debate it, that's okay. Don't try to debate them. Listen, this is for those in the valley decision. This is impregnating them with a thought and backing off and seeing. This is Ephesians 6 in reverse. You know, Ephesians 6 is Diablo. The word Diablo, Satan or devil, means Mr. Penetration. He's the picture of drop, water from an ascended place penetrating granite after centuries. Listen, here's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God will do this. We think sometimes that we have to get in there and make their mind change and impregnate their thoughts with truth, back off, and see what it reveals. Let it aggravate them. Listen, We use torment, and torment from Satan's bad, but if it causes them to sweat a little bit, if it causes them not to sleep a little bit, I would rather somebody give me some sleepless nights and save my soul from hell. Let them, don't, this is a generation that wants to appease everybody and say, I don't want to ruffle your, let, for God's sake, I let them be tormented until they come to reconciliation. Now, wait a minute. There's nothing this thing, if it means they will not inherit, the word inherit means they won't enter in. They can't have an inheritance in it. You can twist that. You can twist it. You just cannot make it say anything other than you won't be saved. And all three of those places had the same ending passage.
they won't enter in. They won't be a part of the kingdom of God. If they do, and the word do, we broke down the word do, it meant habitually. It meant to consistently. And thank God, there's 1 John 1:9, that they can come out of it. And they can repent. But they can't stay in it. Hallelujah. You get one or the other. You repent. The word repent doesn't mean I'm sorry in itself only. That's a two-part. Repentance is two-part. It's I'm sorry and I won't do it again. That's what repentance means. Well, I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm thinking about next Friday night I'm going to do the same thing, and I'll say on Saturday I'm sorry again. You are not sorry, and you're not even being forgiven right now because you're not repenting with a true heart. If you have a premeditation to do it, once in the midst of what you're, when you're saying I'm sorry, you're not really sorry, so your heart's not really repenting, so you're not really being cleansed or forgiven. Forgiven first, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All these things ended up with no inheritance. And we went through this. We went through adultery. So that one we don't have to cover this morning. We went through and defined from the Greek fornication. We defined uncleanliness, lewdness, lasciviousness, and gave you the nuances of how these differ. But they all kind of, some of these overlap. Didn't we find that out? Some of these overlap. And idolatry, not adultery, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft was not just incantations, stirring in a pot, voodoo, voodoo, voodoo. The word witchcraft is the word pharmacia, which means drug addiction. Drug addiction. Drug addiction can and will send you to hell if you do not repent and do your best to come out of it. Witchcraft. Hatred. Now, then we got into some, you know, we talk about, we'll stand up here from the pulpit and don't let fornication be once named among you. Stop that nastiness and stop looking at porno, guys. It'll send you to hell. Yes, it will. But here is a list of sins, emotional things that he lists right along with them that are deal breakers. Hatred. Hatred. And the word hatred, we broke down in the Greek, was hostility. In other words, if you feel so ill, now it's all right. There's people I don't like, as in politics and different things, for what they stand for, but I don't hate them. I'm praying for them. I do hate the devil. Listen, there's things that you should hate. God hates the devil. You should hate the devil. You should hate sin. But hatred, this word hatred, 2189 in the Greek, and I no need to try to pronounce it for you, but it means the one who wishes to do hostility. In other words, if you wish that you could hurt them or wish something else could hurt them or that somehow they'd wake up dead, you got some hatred running in you that you better get out of you, because it has the potential to eventually destroy the life of the new nature that's inside of you. Okay? Well, I'm fighting it. Well, fight it hard, okay? Fight it hard. Variance. We broke down what variance meant. We broke down emulations, wrath. See, those are all emotional kind of things. And people sit in the church all the time and have them. Well, they look, you know, Sometimes not you women, but some women, those men, they got lust problems and blah, 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 they're going to hell. You know, jealousy, envy, those things were in here. What these are, everybody can face these at once. Everybody can face these emotions. But what he's talking about, these are emotions on steroids. These are the ones that burn inside of a person. Okay. Hallelujah. Strife, seditions. We went through all those heresies. Envying. You know what envying was? Envying was, in the Greek, it also meant this: envying, jealousy, pain felt, and malignity conceived at the sight of excellence or happiness of someone else. In other words, you saw, they got a new house, they got a new car, they bought some property, and there's something burning you up. Now, I'm not saying that one-time sin is sending a person to hell, but if you've got that aptitude on the inside of you, there's something wrong. When you see somebody else's advancements and it just like, where's mine? Should have got mine. Woo! You know what? The church at large is not nearly as healthy as it thinks it is. Now, I will buy an amen right now, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Murders, drunkenness, revelings. Okay, now we gotta really finish this up. And we can. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as again, we are not producing debate teams. We're producing ministers of the gospel who live out of a clean conscience and desire to help others. Let the word work. Don't you try to argue with them, okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, because we need to finish this. Know ye not, everybody there? Or close? Okay. You need your Bible back? No, he's got his. He got his electronic. Okay. I stole his Bible. Thieves don't go to heaven either, but I'll give it back. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall, here we go, not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners shall inherit. None of those will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have to go through all of these again, because some of them have overlapped from Galatians. We saw fornication last week, right? We covered that. It's already defined. Idolatry, idol worship, and what goes along with that. And that's also part of that same word in 1 John, last verse. Little children, keep yourself from idols. A lot of things. I hope that nobody's got an idol in their home that you go home after service and bow down to. I hope. But it's possible that other idols exist in our life. Anything that keeps us from ever fulfilling the call. Listen, I was listening to Gary yesterday, and I thought, oh, Jesus. Man, I pray to God, and I believe. He was talking about that commitment that we're called to now. And he said that he was talking about our love for our family, but loving him. He said, if any man will not hate, and hate means by way of comparison, and he goes through that whole litany, his wife, his children, himself, everything has to be laid on the altar. And he said this of himself. And I said, God, I pray the same. I believe that. He said, if I was to come in and I knew absolutely that God said to me, Gary, you go to that foreign land, you go in and tell your wife you are leaving and you'll never be back. If I'm asking you to do that, that's the life. And Gary said, I know with everything, I'd be willing to do that. Every single one of us who are true disciples. Now, they're not all, I believe a lot of people are going to be in heaven that were never true disciples. I'm not saying they didn't live righteously. They never went to the point of dying the death. But us who want to cause revival, we have to go to the place to say, Lord, whatever you call me to, I'd be willing to leave lands, houses, family, and serve you. Somebody said, I don't know if I could do that. Keep going. Keep going. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Keep going to where you love him more than anything else. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some new stuff real quick. Okay. Help me out here. So we went through adulterers. Now the next word is effeminate. Okay? Somebody said, what's effeminate? Remember, we're helping people. We're not debating with them. It's the word 3120 in Malakos. That may be close enough. But it's 3120 in the Strong's, but I'll give you something deeper than that. It means an uncertain affinity, soft, i.e., for example, and this is the outside definition, fine clothing, figuratively, effeminate, soft, And it means this, as you look into the furtherance in it. Figuratively, it means effeminate or person who allows himself to be sexually abused, contrary to nature, the homosexual. Now, the next one is, somebody help me, abusers. Abusers, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's 733 in the Greek, if you're looking at Strong's. I'm not going to try to pronounce these. It comes from, 733 comes from a Greek word, which is 730, and you go to its base, and it means a sodomite, abuser of, that defiles self with mankind, and it gives you other Greek places to go to. But I went back also and looked into that lesson that Gary gave us, which really was, I thought, good concerning abusers of themselves, and how specifically he went into research and he found this also out of the out of history. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. This is out of the New King James. I'm going to read it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. A sodomite, which was listed here as abusers of themselves, or how does he say it? Did I say that correctly? Yeah. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And that is the word sodomite. In Corinth, this was, I'm going to be, yeah, there's this. There's a couple of little ones in the back. But this. I won't say the how, but this was sex with boys. A male temple prostitute was very prevalent in Corinth, and it was a seaport. And specifically, this was one of the things that Paul was speaking about when he was talking about abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves. A stealer, a thief. And this is pretty blanche. I mean, it's right there. Does everybody know what a thief is? Okay. It's somebody taken. Now, we could go on. We don't have time to go into everything. There's a lot of other implications of what a thief is. Covetous. I don't think that was one of the ones that overlapped in the previous. Was it? No. But I put it in here anyway, just making sure. 41:23 in the Strong's. It means one that is eager for gain. It means one that's eager, one that's going after gain. Really, what he's describing here is not just the Greek word here, not only describes like, because we went into emulations, envy, those kinds of things, and they do overlap with some separation, some nuances, but this covetousness is, it's just the plain, simple love of money. Do you know the love of money is going to send a lot of people to hell? I got two amens. I'll give this. The love of money will. Okay. But we're going to rescue a bunch, right? Okay. Drunkards. We already defined drunkards. Revilers. The word reviler here means abusive. It is synonymous with the word blasphemy. Blasphemy. To blaspheme. One that blasphemes. Extortioners. It means to seize upon. It's one who has a violent sense of theft, one who steals secretly or deliberately, one who robs publicly. It's gain in a sense of whatever it takes, I'll take what you got. If I can. Okay? All right, we're doing really good. So we're getting close. Let's go to, what's the next one? Ephesians 5, okay? Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. So I think we covered all those in there, because most of them we'd covered the week before, but there was two or three that was different. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? It means telling dirty jokes, talking nasty. Don't do it. Don't do it. And don't, if I'm standing with about 4 or 5 men and they say something, I'm just going to either walk away or just have a blank face. I'm not going, well, you're going to make them feel bad if you don't. I'm sorry. If it embarrasses you, it embarrasses you. If it makes you mad at me, it makes you mad at me. I will not join in with your foolish jesting. Can we laugh? Can we joke? My God, this church pokes and prods and has fun and has all kind of stuff, but we don't talk naughty. Hallelujah. And I won't hang around with anybody that does either. And you shouldn't either. You may have to work with Joe Schmo that tells you that, but you just need to tell him, look, bro, look, I'm born again. And he's going to call you a snob, and he's going to tell you, that's what persecution for Christ's sake is. Bear a little bit of it. Carry a little bit on you. Man up. Get somebody to talk about you. But you're never more of a man, you're never more of a woman than when you tell somebody, you don't have to broadcast. You say, look, man, I'm going to take you over the side. Look, I can't laugh at stuff like that because I got Christ in me, and I'm not going to. And he'll probably start persecuting you, maybe, or he might respect you. But you got to man up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let no man, and I like what he says, let no man, for he said, okay, I'm going to read 5 again. For this you know that I hadn't got to 5. 4 again. Nevertheless, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this know, of this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So here he goes again, same thing. He's not going to make it, okay, if he continues to do this. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not partakers with them. When he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, what is he talking about, Pastor? Well, he's talking about vain words or this. Don't let anybody deceive you by saying, that's okay. That's okay. The biggest bunch of vain words that's ever spoken comes every Sunday morning with pastors that keep saying, that's okay. It's okay. And he said, and he's saying, don't let no man, no pastor, no so-called prophet, nobody tell you that we're living in a new age, that God has brought us to an age of development and an age of enlightenment, an age of enlightenment. We understand now more than we ever have God's grace, and God's grace covers that. He said that is a bunch of vain, boom, 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 boom. Beep, 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 beep. Because it's vain words. That stuff will send you to hell. It's wrong. Hallelujah. And he says, don't be partakers with him. Now, I've tried to pick out the ones that we hadn't covered. Filthiness. It means shamefulness, for example. Obscenity. But it also comes from, filthiness was 151 out of the Greek, but all the Greek words have their base word. Here's a base word. Indecent, also referring to, now this was amazing to me how this filthiness also went over to this. Filthiness referred to inappropriate conduct of the elder of the local church, that he be not given into improper gain for selfish purposes. Do you remember when Paul said over in 1 Timothy that the bishop or the overseer should not be one that was given to wine or a striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre? This filthiness here also can refer to an elder in the church, or the elder, the chief elder, or the bishop, or meaning the overseer, who does what he does for gain. That's his purpose. I praise God. I thank God that for a paycheck. I appreciate it. But I'm telling you with all living truth inside of me, I don't do this for a paycheck. I do it because it's my call. And then Paul said there's those who, listen, there are those in the ministry right now, some of them are making Google bucks. Google bucks. A lot, way up into six figures. Way up into six figures. And some of them maybe more, into seven figures. Yeah, Gay saying, yeah, that's for real. They, listen, okay, trying to be out of here at a good time. I got just a few minutes. They can't afford. Even if they had a revelation, here's where it's hard. Even if the Holy Spirit broke them down on a Saturday night and come to them in their bedroom and they woke up and they were crying and the Holy Spirit was there and an angel comes in and says, you know what you're preaching is all wrong. Listen, they got a choice. They're making $1.5 million a year and they got 25,000 people in their church. They got a choice. If they change that doctrine, they don't make 1.5 anymore. It's subject to go bankrupt. You can't pay a mortgage that's $300,000 or $400,000 a month with a few people. So what do? You either just say, okay, I'll live on the street if I have to, but I'll serve God. Or you say, I'll fly by the seat of my pants and hope I make it because I can't stop. I'll give them that 20-minute sermon tomorrow, and I will not talk about sin, and I will not talk about the lust of the flesh. But I will get that salary. I will. See, there's some preachers making megabucks. They're making some of them probably close to D1 college coach salaries, or big bucks. Some of them live in a $1 million, $2 million house. Okay. The word whoremonger, it means a male prostitute. It goes along with fornication. Okay, does anybody have a more vivid description after these three lessons? Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such, listen to this, such were some of you, but you're washed. Everybody say, I'm washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, I wrote this down. We'll conclude with this. Let us remember to become rescuers to the church at large, and save some, making a difference, either with compassion or with fear, but saving them from the fire of hell, hating the garments spotted by the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You are more spiritually educated, I believe, after these three lessons. And again, you won't remember all of the specific Greek definitions, but you'll remember the passages. And you'll remember what the Holy Spirit was saying to you afterwards, or during, rather. Hallelujah. We're going to stand, close. Anybody that needs prayer afterwards for just a few minutes. And some of my men, some of my millennials, and if there's any ladies that would like prayer specifically for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, those of you that are watching, just receive this morning, and those that are around you, receive. I tell you what. Yes, sir. The Holy Spirit is saying to somebody that's watching and to several that you've had a premonition, a sense of like, I think I can pray, but I'm not sure if this is God. I'm not sure if the words that keep coming up to my, it is God, and He wants you to begin to start, and He wants you to trust yourself, because it's not yourself but Himself in you, to just begin to gently pray. Let the Holy Spirit now, in the shower, driving, whatever, but allow the Holy Spirit to fully baptize your spirit. Amen. And then there's some that may need healing. Sandy, you've come in. I'm going to pray over you, and I think you want a prayer cloth for somebody. But I'm going to pray, and please, one of you guys, play for me. We're going to minister for a few moments. If you have to leave, that's okay. You've received a very powerful message. Leave quietly and reverently, because we'll still be ministering for a little bit. Hallelujah. So, Father, I bless this crowd, and I thank You for those that have been watching this morning. Lord, we thank You that we've taught a lesson that's kind of difficult, because it brings up a lot of the things that really we've been freed from, but we also want to be those who can help those who are in a valley of decision. Lord, let this be now inside of us something that is more than just what a pastor or Pastor Bronk said, but something that, Lord, we can extend to help those in that place of decision. We pray it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.